Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Taylor Kelly is going to jump on board in about 15 minutes, the former Arizona State Sun Devil quarterback. He is now training QBs. I want to talk to him directly about ASU and their quarterback battle because he has seen all three of them, and they get underway with spring ball later this week. Taylor Kelly will be talking about Bryce Perkins and Brady White and Manny Wilkins and what separates each one. What are the intangibles of each one of those three quarterbacks from Taylor Kelly's view? And also, what is he doing now training quarterbacks out in Southern California in his time at Arizona State? I thought he would have gone with Mike Norvell to Memphis, or I'm surprised Eric dropped that on me. I guess it happened while I was at the Combine. So Taylor Kelly with us. Paula Bovin, her weekly segment, AZ Central sports columnist. We're going to talk about Aaron Andrews' case with Paula Bovin. So, and some of you may be uncomfortable with it. Tough. It's one of those stories where, as a female in sports, and Paula's on television some, and she has been a pioneer in the business for 25, 30 years. I make it sound like she's old. She's my friend. We've been around a little bit. We've seen how the industry has changed, and this Aaron Andrews case is right in the middle of it. You know, I'm seeing where female reporters are talking about how when they check into hotels, they put Band-Aids over peepholes, and they don't leave name tags on luggage, and I'm just wondering, what does Paula have to do on that? The Suns are maddening, aren't they? People get so excited about winning a game here or there in March when you've done so much to be in a position to get the top two or three picks in the draft, and you're screwing it up. It's the only way to put it. We're going to talk with Paula. Saturday night I was at a wedding reception, and it's a good friend of mine, and he had it at his house, and it was very low key and laid back, and he has wide screens on, and Duke is playing North Carolina, and I don't know why Eric didn't figure this out or why my son hasn't figured it out. If it's a Saturday night, well, let's just put some games on. Call it a day. So I'm sitting there with him, and his bride's really cool too. And it's Chipotle and an open bar, and we're watching Duke, North Carolina on a beautiful sunset night outdoors. And I'm watching Brandon Ingram, and I've heard about Brandon Ingram at Duke. And I've seen him play a little bit. But I watched him from start to finish the other night, and I'm totally head over heels in love with him. Ben Simmons, and it's about the Suns and the draft. You know, Ben Simmons is getting all the love. If you guys haven't seen Brandon Ingram yet, Eric, have you seen Brandon Ingram at Duke? Have you checked him out yet?
A little bit, not a ton.
Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't see much of Duke, North Carolina. Well, I know, shame on me.
Well, but you know what? It's Duke, North Carolina in the regular season, so it doesn't mean as much. They'll probably meet again this week in the ACC tournament, and that's fine. And it's not what it once was. With television being everywhere, that game still is special, but it's not the most must-see. But I'm watching Brandon Ingram, and I'm seeing Sam Perkins and Kevin Durant. This guy's got this sleepy look about him, and he's maybe 190 pounds, and I've heard that he's the number two guy in this year's draft. And he's just unbelievably quick with Duke. And I'm thinking, okay, if the Suns could figure it out and stick him out there with Booker, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. And then go find the veteran guy. You know, I don't care the Suns are beating Memphis in March. I don't care. It's hurting them. The Lakers yesterday won, and the Suns could have just easily done. Devin Booker has plantar fasciitis. He is going to miss tonight's game, and that's it. But instead, they've won 3 of 4. And what do those three wins mean? Nothing. So I'm in love with Brandon Ingram. I'm really frustrated with them, and I got to talk to Paula about all this stuff. Obviously, today is Peyton Manning Day. Peyton Manning said no to Arizona. I remember we were just starting out this company when Peyton Manning was on the market. And we went out and we hung out at the Cardinals facility. Eric was out there. I think Jared was out there. We were just lonely guys hanging out in a Cardinal parking lot.
You gave me the night shift. I remember that.
Yeah.
I was on the 5 p to 10:30 p. Peyton Manning watch out in Tempe.
So, and it's one of the more ridiculous things in our industry, but it's not as pervasive as it once was. It's you're going to go camp out, and you might get the you might get the 6 second video of Peyton Manning coming through in the black Escalade, and he might wave to you, or better yet, he might have to get out and walk through you, and you're going to be the only one there that has it. And that video, man, it's going to go viral, and we're going to be big. We're going to be the hugest thing ever. So Eric goes out there, and he's all excited. And how many Peyton Manning sightings did you see that night?
Zero. I think there was only one car that actually came through the Cardinals facility that entire 5.5
And it was the cleaning crew car or something.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And you're out there with Brad Gass, I think, from Channel 10.
Yep, hung out in the
one of the best people ever.
Hung out in the Fox 10 news truck and just kind of shot the bull for a bit.
And you're out there with like water and peanuts because you don't want to leave.
No, you can't leave.
You can't leave because he just came through. You missed it. Well, wait, I gotta clean my body out. No, you missed him. Now you got to sit here and just cross your legs, dude. That's the job. That's the gig. Sign up for it. So Peyton Manning jilted the Cardinals, and in hindsight, did it work out for everybody involved? I mean, he went to Denver and he got what he wanted to get. He rides off into the sunset. He left the Cardinals in a position where I think he looked around and said, the heck with this. I'm not coming here behind this offensive line. Are you kidding me? If he would have come here, he probably would have had to retire 2 years ago because he would have just gotten crushed. Good receivers or not, Peyton Manning did play around with the Cardinals. They played footsie. He did visit the facility, but he never came here. So to me, yeah, great quarterback. Oh, yeah, I watched him play. But I'm not taking the day off from work like they're doing in Denver. I'm not in mourning saying my city's better than yours in Indianapolis because that's where he started out. But I thought it was pretty cool that Peyton Manning did call Bruce Arians directly to say thank you and to tell him what was going on. This was in the LA Times last night. Sam Farmer, who does a terrific job. There was also a line in there about, we're not sure how Peyton was able to get a hold of Tom Moore because Tom Moore doesn't even have probably has a flip phone nowadays, you know, who's on the Cardinals staff.
Remember the big storyline, Brad? One of the big storylines when he signed with Denver was, he's a dome quarterback. How is he going to handle playing in snowy, miserable Denver? Well, let's see. He got him to two Super Bowls, and he won one. And he basically revitalized his career for the most part. There were a couple bumps in the road.
Sure.
But the big success for him going to Denver.
I mean, if we're going to sit here and do a show on I like Peyton Manning better than I like Tom Brady, then I am going to take this pen and I'm going to jam it into my eyeball. I'm going to stick it into my ear and pull it all the way out on the other side. If I had one quarterback that I could start a team with, well, I wouldn't want the guy that was there at the end of the season with Denver. Because here's the thing. If you look at the Broncos, if we're getting real about this, I think Denver could put most anybody at quarterback, as good as their defense is. As good as their defense is in Denver, I think they could put most anybody at quarterback and still go win. They could. Because the defense is that good. And they have enough of a running attack. They have enough playmakers up there. So this, you know, today is one of those days where it's great that he's leaving. It's kind of like Kobe, who's going to be here in 2 weeks for a Suns game on a Wednesday night. It'll be the last time that we see Kobe Bryant. And it's good that we're seeing Kobe Bryant for the last time because he can't play like he once did. It's tough to watch our stars age. It's tough to watch our great players try to hang on and hang in there. And nobody has any business to say, oh, Peyton shouldn't play anymore. I'm glad he's retiring. I don't know how he's going to be as an analyst, though. You know, to me, it feels like you know that the Manning camp has already talked with Fox and has already talked with ABC and has already talked with ESPN and has already talked with NBC. So you look around the landscape and say, okay, Tony Dungy's at NBC, Tony Peyton relationship. Could I see Peyton Manning sitting there on Sunday Night Football with Tony Dungy, the two of them together? It would make a lot of sense. It's big NBC. He could host Saturday Night Live twice a year as part of his deal. I'm looking at the post-Peyton Manning and what makes the most sense for him. I think that's a pretty attractive place for him to land. These pregame shows on Sunday mornings have turned into absolute train wrecks. I don't know anybody who sits there and says, I have to hear what Michael Strahan has to say, and I'm going to start my Sunday out with the pregame show of Terry Bradshaw yucking it up. I don't know anybody who does that anymore. By the time they get to the games on Sunday, everything that's needed to be said is said. So for him to go be like the Fox pregame show guy, doesn't make sense unless Fox says, we're going to give you the replacement to American Idol. We're going to do anything and everything because we know you can go sell. I don't know how good he's going to be. You know, look at Kurt Warner. When Kurt finished playing, he went and did the reality show over on USA. And it's fine. We all have to find our spaces, but he moved on from that project. The NFL Network, I can't see Peyton Manning sitting there playing footsie with Michael Irvin, Marshall Faulk. You know, that just doesn't feel right. Could I see him in a three-man booth at NBC with Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels? I don't know. Collinsworth is pretty good, I think. Some people don't like him. I think he's pretty good. Could I see him as the lead analyst over at CBS doing a game with Jim Nantz because some people are done with Phil Sims? Maybe, you know, and as reverent as Jim Nantz has been to Peyton Manning, the fact he's been an AFC quarterback for all these years, so he knows the AFC, which CBS has. But is it going to be enough for him to go get on a plane every Friday morning and go fly to Miami to get ready to do the Miami-New England game? And then the next week he's going to be at Pittsburgh for the Colts and Steelers. Is that going to drive his engine? I don't know that. He seems to me to be a guy that wants to do more than just be the typical, I'm done playing. I feel like as a studio analyst, and Eric, correct me on this, I don't know if he's going to say anything interesting. I don't know if he's going to go after anybody. And it's not that you go into that job saying, I got to crush this guy, but it has to come up. He's going to be the guy that's going to look in the camera and say, Tom Brady could make this throw 8 years ago, and now he can't. And that's really interesting to me.
True. I agree with all of that. He is a very, he can have a good personality. We've seen it through all of his
stuff.
Yeah, and through all of his endorsements. I mean, he's done funny commercials, so there is a side of him that I think would do well in the analyst booth. But, I mean, there aren't that many, are there that many analysts that really hammer away in the NFL? I mean, Phil Sims has been accused of not being strong enough. And I just don't know.
Troy Aikman was all over the Packers this
year. He was.
Troy Aikman was all over the Packers this year.
That's a good example. That's good. Okay, but, I mean, I don't know. They'll probably start him with the training wheels, and then he'll kind of grow into the role. And if he's not stern enough or opinionated enough, I'm sure he'll get a sit down and say, you know, you have to give us a little bit more edge and be a little bit more critical when a guy's not performing.
See, here's the thing with him, though. If you look at NBC, NBC has the Olympic Games, right? That's about as milquetoast and vanilla, and you're going to wrap yourself in the flag, and you're not going to say anything controversial about the USA. So the branding part of it, and that's Peyton Manning's all about brand management. For him, it feels to me like the Olympics sitting over there, you go put Peyton Manning in that space, you're going to have people. It's like Collinsworth cut his teeth at the Olympics, and Collinsworth does Olympics now. And he does fine with it. But he's not going to be put into a place to say something controversial. He's going to ask Michael Phelps, was the water wet today? You know, I mean, that's what's going to happen there. And it's going to be plastered all over the country through the marketing arms about how great Peyton Manning is. It's not like he's going to go away and disappear. But I did think it was really cool on his part to call Bruce Arians directly and inform him. And he did that with all of his other coaches. That says a lot. RG3 in a Cardinal uniform. I don't know. He's going to get blown out. I don't see it happening. But fans are sending in notes on that front. We're going to talk some NBA on the other side, too, about the stunner and the stunner yesterday with the Warriors and the Lakers, actually a little bit later in the show. But up next, Taylor Kelly, former Arizona State Sun Devil quarterback, highly regarded, well-liked, left the Sun Devil program recently. I want to talk to him about the quarterback battle in spring ball coming up between the three guys, Perkins, Wilkins, and White, and what are the intangibles with those three, and much more. He's training quarterbacks now. Taylor Kelly next.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
All right, let's shift gears now into an area that I think many fans wonder about and they want to get involved in with their kids, or they're in that stage where how do you get better at the position of quarterback? It doesn't matter if it's a junior higher, high school, college, even pros. We're telling you about how Ryan Lindley is now quarterback coaching and trying to help out with the NFL draft. And I heard from Eric that Taylor Kelly Left ASU. I must have missed this when I was at the Combine. The graduate assistant, former Sun Devil quarterback, really good guy. But he's now training quarterbacks in Southern California. So with that as the backdrop, I want to bring Taylor on board for a minute to first say congratulations. And then we're going to get into the training of QBs and some college football stuff. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
So you're at Edge Quarterbacks Training in Huntington Beach now. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
How'd this all come about, Taylor?
So John Beck, he's a former Arizonian and played out there and then went on to BYU. And I ran into him about a year ago and just stayed in touch with him. And I noticed he was throwing. I was training out in L.A. for about 2 weeks before pro day and all that. And I ran into him. I was like, hey, do you mind if I throw with you? I'm looking for someone to just throw around with while I'm out here. And he told me what he did. And I fell in love with the training that they did. And so then that's when I just stayed in touch with him throughout the year and just picked his brain on a bunch of different things. And then he offered me an opportunity to come out here and train with them.
So you're working with how many quarterbacks each day, Taylor?
It'll vary. We probably will get like 10 quarterbacks a day. Mm-hmm. Ranging and from the top tier to all the way down to eighth graders.
And are you working with any guys that are in college, or is it primarily high school, junior high? How far is your stretch there that you're working with?
It goes all the way up into the NFL quarterback training, college, high school, and then all the way down to like seventh grade.
So one other part on this before we get too far into your training, are you done chasing the dream of being an NFL quarterback?
It's crazy. Like, the stuff that I'm learning right now is just unbelievable. And, my arm is starting to feel good. You know, you start getting that feeling once in a while, like, man, I can still go do this. But we'll see. We'll see how my body keeps feeling and getting better and just the more things I learn. And we'll just see the growth opportunity from there.
Talk about Taylor Kelly, former Sun Devil quarterback. Former graduate assistant at ASU. How would you term your ASU graduate assistant experience? What did you gain from that over the last year with Todd Graham?
I gained a whole lot of experience and knowledge of just the game of football, and not just the X's and O's, but just like the different ways to run a program, different ways to run a multi-million-dollar business, and just all the things that go along with that. And I just met I created such a great relationship with my coaching staff and also players that I play with and then newcomers that came along. And I just had a blast doing it. And I just loved the relationships that I was able to build and that are going to last for a lifetime.
You probably could have gone with Mike Norvell, right? I mean, you probably could have gone a whole bunch of places after this year, right?
Right.
Yeah. And why did you pass on that?
I thought in the long-term goal of what I wanted to achieve in life, I wanted to kind of stick into, I still wanted to coach. I still wanted to help kids grow and achieve their dreams. And I think in the long-term center goal of what I want to achieve in life, this is a better route for me to do that. And so I can be able to, go to one. It's tough in the college business and being a coach. You know, I want to be able to go to my kids' high school games one day and watch him and be there for him, play catch when I come home, that type of thing. And I think that's just me as a person, and my goals of what I want to do with my family one day. But I think this job is a better opportunity for me to do that and achieve those goals right now.
The ASU quarterback derby is coming up this week with Bryce and Manny and Brady. I'm not going to ask you who should win it or any of that stuff. That's not fair. But what do you make out of these three guys as individuals that are going to go into this battle?
Oh, they're unbelievable people, human beings that just love competition, love the game of football, and love to just go out there and have fun on the field. You know, I've had a privilege to be with Manny for 2 years, and then the other two just for the year. And I've learned so much about them as people and how they love the community and go out and serve, and they put the team first. And that's one thing that's going to make these guys great leaders is that they all have very similar traits in that aspect, but they're so very different in how they go about that on the field and off the field.
What's the intangible in Manny?
Manny is a very playmaker guy. Like whenever he has the ball in his hands, he expects to score. He's very talented with his arm, his legs. He's just so loose and fluent up top and with his body that he can make guys miss and make any sort of throw that you put him in. And that's one of his advantages. But there's the thing that goes to the other side of it is whenever he has the ball, sometimes you can be like, oh, no, what are you doing? And then he scores, or it could go the other way. So those are the things, like Manny, he needs to grow as experience-wise, and that's the only way you're going to do it is by playing. And so just knowing how to make those type of plays, when in the game situation to do that, and that's one thing that Manny, he's going to grow from this spring, and he's going to learn is the game management part.
What's the intangible in Brady?
Brady, he's very confident in himself. He has a lot of mechanics are polished. He's smart in the classroom. He's a competitor, but he's not so much, give you a hoorah speech. He's just going to go and do his actions out on the field and have his guys follow him. He brightens the room up. He's so polite and gets along with everybody. I think the whole team respects him enough where he has to say something. They're going to do that.
The intangible in Bryce.
Bryce has that it factor, I would say. Being around him for the last 6 months, and he's grown so much in the classroom as far as football classroom, understanding things, taking the notes in the classroom of when Burke was talking in meetings, just, picking up on little things. Because when you're on scout team with Brady and Bryce, you're not much of a part of role in the meeting room because you have to leave about right at the beginning of it, about 30 minutes into it, and go learn the scout team. And so for them to really grow that way, they have to go out on their own and do things. And I really saw his growth in that. So that tells me that he was doing the extra stuff to grow and be a better football player and help out this program. And he's a special player. He took Chandler to state championship, and I'm really pleased with his growth in the last six months, and I'm really excited to see what he's going to do in spring.
What can you do that none of those three can?
As far as what?
On the field, off the field. I mean, you've won. I mean, that's the easy answer. You've won. We don't know about these guys. I mean, they've won in high school, but can you throw it further than all three of these guys? You got a better arm than all three of these guys, Taylor?
They're talented, more talented than I was, without a doubt. It's just who's going to grow and focus on themselves and their team to make them better. That's where I think – I'm not going to say me, but that's what I focused on when I was in this competition 4 or 5 years ago. And I just focused on me and how am I going to get all 10 other guys out on the field and all 115 players better around me and grow that relationship. And so whichever one of those quarterbacks does that and gets their team to follow them will win the job.
How close do you think it is? Or do you think that this will sort itself out?
It's really close. Yeah. It's so close that like it's going to be really, really tough. And, Coach Graham, he's going to do the same probably almost exact to a T on grading-wise of evaluation. And once those numbers hit and all those calculations, then he's going to put everything together, and then that will separate itself. Because a lot of people will get lost on just the visual of the eye instead of the body of work and the real statistics of it.
Before I let you go, because I know you have to train, let's just talk specifically to parents now or coaches. What are the mistakes that you see from parents with their kids that they believe are going to be the next Taylor Kelly, be the next college quarterback and beyond? What advice would you give them now that you're in this space of coaching quarterbacks?
Just go at it. I would tell them to don't push your kid, your friend's kid, to whatever they don't want to do. Just let them feel free. And if they're eager to learn and want to be the next Arizona State quarterback or want to be whatever the next Tom Brady, then they are going to do it themselves. You're not going to force somebody to do something and put all that pressure on them. And then I think that goes, it deteriorates all what you want them to do and sends them the wrong direction. So let them play multiple sports. Let them just go out there, push them, be there for them, but also just let, they are the ones that need to do it.
When do you start focusing only on football? How soon? Is it seventh grade? Is it sophomore year? Is it depend on the kid? What's your view?
My view is to play as many sports that you possibly can. Because as a quarterback, you have to throw, it's a rotational sport. You have to be able to make all these different throws, all these different athletic movements. And if you just focus on football, then when you're playing baseball in the spring, then you're missing out on all those reps of hitting a baseball bat, turning two and getting a double out, flipping your hips around and throwing the guy out at first if you're playing shortstop. You're missing all those extra reps if you just focus on that one sport, even if it's basketball, lacrosse, all that stuff. So that's my advice for parents out there. Let your kids play as many sports so they can stay athletic and young. And when they're in that sport, then that's when you grind. That's when you get better and take the most out of it. And then once that next sport comes, you try to be the best at that. And that's just going to make you a better athlete and a better person all around.
And one last thought. When I was at the Combine a couple of weeks ago, I had some NFL people tell me, Brad, we can spot the football-specific kid versus the athlete. And we were wanting to see the athlete more than the football-specific kid. Do you agree with that?
I 100% agree. You're going to see kids that are, that are just weight room guys, that are just linear movement guys. And then you got these guys that are just fluent, like guys that are just loose and are confident and they can make any type of throw. They can make any sort of catch. Because like Jalen, he played basketball his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And what was he really good at? Going up for a jump ball and bodying someone. And that's what you do all the time in basketball. When you grab a rebound, when you're trying to block someone's shot, you learn your body and those different types of movements in other sports. And then when you get out into the one that you're succeeding the most or love the most, then you can use those experiences that your body has done and a body of work out on the field and help better your game there.
Good to talk with you. Best of luck to you with what you're doing, and I'll see you down the road, Taylor. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Always good to catch up with Taylor Kelly there, graduate assistant, formerly at ASU, now training quarterbacks at Edge Quarterback Training out in Huntington Beach. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're back after this timeout.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
Paula Bovin joins us now, AZ Central Sports columnist. I want to get into Aaron Andrews here in a little bit and the trial and just your travel habits and things that have come out, because I've seen a lot of your contemporaries and people within the industry talk about this, and I want to get it from your perspective. I'll get to that in a couple minutes. You had the story yesterday about ASU and the Coyotes perhaps setting up house together. Why is it the Suns cannot figure this out? You know, I know what you said last week about how you don't want them to tank, but at the same time, they're killing themselves right now, Paula. They've won 3 of 4. What is going on here?
By them winning games, you mean?
Yes. What is their problem?
Well, No, we should applaud that, Brad. We shouldn't be disgusted by it. I mean, the reality is, I think those players can say what they want about Marquise Morris and how much they love him, but the reality is, I just think there's a better locker room in there now, and I think the Suns are doing the right thing in the sense of getting those young players a lot of minutes, and these guys are improving. My gosh, I was watching Alex Len even the other day. He looked like a different guy, and we've seen what Devin Booker can do. So, yeah, it's unfortunate for those of us in the who like good basketball and like to see Ben Simmons come here, but still doesn't mean it's out of the question, and I applaud their effort.
Okay. Have you seen Brandon Ingram yet? Have you seen Brandon Ingram? Have you seen Brandon Ingram yet at Duke? Have you seen him play much?
Yeah. I have.
Yeah.
And,
I want him more than Ben Simmons. That's just me.
Oh, I disagree with you. I don't know. I think Simmons, I just think he has more upside, and I just enjoy his game right now and his maturity. So
Ingram's Kevin Durant. Ingram's Kevin Durant, Paula. Come on. Simmons, I'm not sure what Simmons is.
I watched him, though, this weekend, and he took the worst shot, one of the worst shots I've ever seen. So maybe my perception is tainted a bit, but I was not overly impressed that short time I saw him. But I've seen him in the past, and he's obviously a great player. So we'll see what happens with us.
Okay, are you convinced, you wrote about this yesterday, are you convinced that the Coyotes and Arizona State are going to become partners in a facility?
I would not say convinced, because I've watched this roller coaster of the Coyotes for years, and things that seem like they're going to happen fall through. But I will tell you, talking to people just during the past 4 or 5 days, there is as much confidence as I've seen of something getting done. The Coyotes, I think, have been thrilled with how ASU's handled this, the conversations they've had. There had been talk a while back about the Suns, and I know the city of Phoenix would like to get something done, but I just think that's going to be too hard of a deal. I think, understandably, Robert Sarver would want a certain percentage of everything that comes, and I think, considering the Coyotes situation, that probably wouldn't work. And I know that the Indian Reservation has also talked with the Coyotes, and that was a possibility. But I just think things have been moving along a lot faster with ASU. They really want to get this thing done. I know there's a lot of concern about the size of the arena for college hockey, but I think when you look at the value of the recruiting tool and all that for ASU, I think they're willing to sort of compromise in that regard. So I think it's going to happen, and I think that deal may come here in the next few months.
Okay. Would they take it and put it where the current Carson golf course is? Would they take the current Wells Fargo and blow that down? Or where would they put this arena?
That I couldn't pin down, but what I heard more than anything was Carson. That was the one that kind of kept coming up. So that would be the likelihood. And these things take time from the sort of the planning of it to then building it. I mean, we may be talking 2.5 to 3 years before we'd see a facility, but the reality is at least there would be something there, and Coyotes have, acknowledged and that they just can't draw enough fans on the West Side, and that they could do a lot better. They believe in the East Valley. So yeah, I think it's a pretty interesting scenario, and I think it's a very likely scenario.
We're talking with Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend, for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Greinke pitched the other day. I had Derek Hall on last week, and we were talking about how they're handling him in a way where his social anxiety is not being put out there that much. He's not going to do a whole heck of a lot. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to him or you saw him. What do you make out of Greinke and the Diamondback spring so far?
For Greinke, I was utterly fascinated. I went to his start, was among the group of people interviewing him after the game. He's such a different, unique guy, but a sort of fascinating character. And the knowledge, I think, that he has stored up there, and the ability, really, really looking forward to sort of watching this season unfold with him, just because of what he has shown he can accomplish. I mean, in some ways, he's sort of in that other stratosphere, if you can kind of repeat that. And just being around the organization, it's talking to fans at the game. People are excited about the Diamondbacks again, and I know that spring training kind of brings out the nostalgia and optimism in people. There's just that vibe anyway. But this sort of felt different. I mean, this felt like, while there are a lot of people, I think, that are watching this team nationally. I know that most experts aren't even picking the Diamondbacks to win their division. I still sense a lot of excitement from fans.
Have you been following the Aaron Andrews trial much, Paula?
Yeah, I have, and it's really ticking me off, to be honest.
Okay, so let's just go down this path that a female in sports is not a big deal to me any longer. It was a big deal to a lot of people. I've known you for a long time. We've seen the industry really grow and shape itself. The Erin Andrews part where she is saying that she gets letters from ladies and young girls about not wanting to get in the profession because they don't want to go through what she's going through. I've seen several ladies. I think it was Richard Deitch over on the SI podcast. He talked to seven female reporters and faces on television about how they put Band-Aids over their peepholes at hotels and they go sweep their hotel room. What do you make out of this stuff around the Erin Andrews trials that pertains to just you?
Well, it frustrates me to no end because, one, you know, I heard some of the implication from the defense attorneys saying, well, look at the publicity that, you know, you're benefiting from this with the publicity. My God, would they say that to a male sports journalist? Because that doing that just implies that, you know, this is the reason that women are getting in to sports because it's, you know, they're attention mongers or whatever. So that really disgusted me. And then just this whole, I don't know, like 7 million views on that stupid video, which you can still find online, you know, having to live with that. I understand it's for some people, they feel like it's an old story, but it's not because it's happening day after day after day. And I just don't feel like there is enough of, I don't think people are embracing the story enough as an important one. And they're, you know, questioning her lawsuit and everything else. My God, I think it's as much a statement about, you know, all this trouble and sad thing Erin Andrews has had to go through, but also of female sports journalists and that they're not being taken seriously enough. And it's really sad because, you know, people like you, I've known you now for decades, Brad. I'd never have thought twice that you would ever think negatively or improperly about a female sports journalist. But it just makes you realize how many of them are still out there, how many people are like that.
Let me put it to you this way, and this may be uncomfortable for you, and if I get too far, just push back. When you travel, do you take precautions for yourself? In the same way that she is talking, bag tags and covering up peepholes and sweeping rooms and all that stuff.
You know, I'll be honest, I never did before. I will now. I mean, when I travel now, it never would have occurred to me that kind of stuff was happening. And, you know, and early on, I dealt more with issues like that. But, I mean, now it's just ridiculous. And so many people were sort of culpable in this situation, not just the guy, but the hotel and ESPN, and their sort of, frankly, lack of support, it sounded like. Really, it was troublesome. So, yeah, absolutely. It will make me think twice. I mean, I'm going on the road to the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas this week. I'll be going to Final Four in a couple of weeks, and it makes you think about that stuff.
It's all about a six-second viral video. You know, that's the – unfortunately, there are media companies now that just want to see viral videos. That's all they talk about, viral video, viral video. So – to your point about how the video is still out there, and I haven't seen it, I just don't get the fascination with it myself. But I guess when you're talking to people that are coming into the industry, when you're talking to young girls, when you're teaching now, I mean, do you have females that come up to you that say, I want to be involved in this, but what is the downside in terms of the sexuality or things that Erin Andrews is having to go through? Have you seen or heard any of that?
Yeah, you know, and something that's happening right now with my class, and I have, you know, half of my class is just hugely impressive young women who want to get in this business, who are qualified, who are great sports fans, terrific writers, and I've been bringing them to spring training, and they're sort of experiencing the, you know, the awkwardness of clubhouses and everything else, and so it has led to these discussions about this stuff that you have to deal with. That, frankly, I kind of thought it was dying down over the past couple of years, but it's clearly an issue, and it has definitely been a topic of discussion in class.
You need to write about Erin Andrews. I'm not your editor, but you need to write about it, so because it's clearly coming through you right now.
Yeah.
Anything else going on that you see? I mean, Peyton, I can ask you about Peyton Manning, but he wasn't here. So he played around with Phoenix. So to me, he wasn't here. So I'm moving on from that. I mean, yeah, it's a big day and all that stuff for him nationally, but I don't think it really resonates here in Arizona unless you're a Bronco fan.
Right. No, I kind of expected it to happen. And so I feel like we've just kind of moved on with that. You know, what intrigues me right now is what's going to happen with U of A in the postseason. You know, they had a spectacular last-minute victory, great shot by Gabe York. But there also have been times where you're scratching your head saying, this is just not a good team. So I'm curious what this team is going to be in the postseason. That's what fascinates me right now.
Yeah. Keep Eric on a leash up there. So I think Jordan's going, too. It's like three-quarters.
Oh, dear.
Half the company is going to Vegas, so we just don't want to go under if they get in trouble, so... See you later.
I'll give them the, you know, my eyes are watching you kind of look when I see them. Point my, you know, fingers to the eyes. So, yeah, I got them. I got you covered, Brad.
You got a policy. It's Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. How did the Warriors lose yesterday? Was it about respect to Kobe? I'll get into that next. So the Diamondbacks play the Mariners this afternoon, and they're back on their rotation. De La Rosa is going to throw today, so that's going on. And Archie's going to be on the hill today, too. That is at 1 o'clock over in Peoria. Corbin pitched yesterday. They beat up on the Cubs. There was a huge crowd out there. Eric and I were talking about how there were no crowds during the week, but, man, they all showed up now that spring break is here. You're going to the Pac-12 tournament, so I'm on the surface here looking at the games. So you've got ASU Oregon State Wednesday night at 8:30. They're not going to win that game, are they?
I don't think so. I haven't seen Oregon State play a lot, but apparently, according to Joe Lunardi, they are a bubble team.
Really?
There will be much more emphasis, I would think, on that game for the Beavers than there would for the Sun Devils. And you know ASU's history of going up to Vegas and playing in this tournament. It's not good.
Yeah, but it's Bobby Hurley. It's, you know, fresh slate.
ASU's history when it comes to going to Vegas and not playing well in this tournament.
So Washington State plays Colorado Wednesday. The winner there gets U of A. And I've seen Colorado enough. I haven't seen Washington State enough.
Washington State's the worst team in the pack.
Yeah,
so
and
I
have not cared that much this year outside of watching Oregon and Utah. Even watching U of A, to me, their guard play is so up and down. Like when Sean goes crazy about, see, I told you so about Gabe York. Coaches that do that sort of stuff drive me crazy. Gabe York's played fine over the last few weeks, but he's not been great this year. They are not great. Any U of A fan that thinks this is a great U of A team is just merely one of those that says, well, I'm a fan and our team's great even when we stink. They're not great. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Gabe York have an 0-for-6, and then what do you say? So whenever coaches say, yeah, well, some of you have been questioning our guy, and, well, look what he did today, and, yeah, and so when he doesn't play well, how about just being straight up and say, yeah, we didn't hit our shots? It's kind of like watching Steve Kerr yesterday. Steve Kerr, in his own way, buried his team after the Warriors lost to the Lakers. There's a couple things here. So there was a lot made yesterday, and it's really not that hard. The Warriors had a Saturday night off in Los Angeles in March, okay? I think they're going to the playoffs. I don't think they're sitting around saying, hey, so we have to be in by 9 because we have to make sure that we're ready to play tomorrow because we're going for the greatest record ever. I don't think that happens in the NBA. Call me jaded, call me whatever, but a Saturday night for the Warriors – I'm thinking they were probably out a little bit after 9:30.
Every single one of the Warriors starting five had a negative plus minus in the game last night. Think about how I don't think that's probably ever happened. Every single one of the starters had a negative plus minus. That tells you how poorly they played.
4 of 30 from three-point country. Oh, we got a trend going here.
Steph, 1 of 10 on threes.
Oh, it's over. He's played too many minutes.
Man, between he and Kobe, that they did not exactly burn the Nets up last night. Yeah. They were what, 1 of 15 on threes and 10 of 34 from the field.
Okay, so in all seriousness, who cares about losing a Sunday game to the Lakers? That's the first part. The other part is The Warriors, Eric, are only 2.5 games ahead of the Spurs for the best record. And when you think about that,
that's crazy.
Just, you know, everybody's had this whole big season of how great the Warriors are, and the Spurs are only 2.5 back. That is nuts to me. And they're still ahead of the Bulls' pace, even with that awful showing yesterday. So the Warriors are at home tonight. I will watch. They are home tonight to Orlando. And the Spurs play at Indiana tonight. So that's interesting to me. And the one last thing about the Suns is Kobe's last game is March 23rd. Okay. 16 days from now, Kobe Bryant, probably the biggest villain in the history of Suns basketball. You could say John Paxson for one shot in the postseason and the magnitude of the shot. I get it. Okay. You could probably go back and say Magic Johnson. You could say any Laker, but Kobe Bryant, his last game is in 16 days. The game is not sold out. To me, that is somewhat embarrassing as a sports market. And I know that people have financial issues. I know that there's this and I know that there's that and there's all these things going on, but you got to be kidding me. Kobe's last game, we can't figure it out. He should get as rousing and thunderous an ovation or boo as anybody ever. 16 days. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website right now, sports360az.com. High school, college, pro, pro college, high school makes no difference to us. We are the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. Big old box Walmart, that's sports. Sprouts, Whole Foods, a little higher up here, and that's what we are. Take our time on some things. We're not sitting here turning and burning and making sausage every day. Nobody wants to see how sausage is made. Thanks for being with us.